One of the students, the Baal Shem Tov, once asked him a question. They said, "Rabbi, you taught us every bad midah could be turned into good. They said you taught us we could take jealousy and turn it into kin'at Hashem, kin'at Sofrim. You could be jealous of someone's spirituality, turn it into good. You taught us we could take ga'ava, pride, and turn it into vayigval libo bedarkei Hashem. We could use haughtiness even for good. Could even take desire and use it for the right reasons." And they said, "Rabbi, what could we do with the midah of kefira? What could we do with the midah of denial of Hashem, of apikorsut? How could you use that for good? What good could come out of that?" And he answered them, he said, "That is when your friend is in a difficult situation. When your friend is in a difficult situation, he has to have bitachon. But you, that's when you should invoke your midah of kefira. You don't tell him, have bitachon, don't worry, have bitachon, have bitachon. That's for you to know." He says, "But your friend, when it comes to your friend, you have to share in his pain. You have to try to help him. If he asks you, he tells you he lost his job and he needs money. You don't tell him, bitachon, don't worry, how can I get you money? Let's go see. Maybe we can raise money for you. Maybe we could do it." His job is to have bitachon, but your job is to share in his pain and to help him. The stipler once said about all the people who came to him with problems. He says he doesn't see a difference what the problem is. It always fills the entire heart, and the pain is just as great. Whatever it is, when a person has a difficult situation, he's overwhelmed by the pain. He says, bitachon is only for the Baal Yisurin himself. So when we learn about having bitachon and having faith in God in difficult situations, it's for ourselves. We're preparing, hopefully we'll never have to use it in the difficult situations. We'll use it only to get the good. But it's for us to know before. And even though we spoke last week about how much good Yisurin does for a person, the Chazal said, "Lo hen velo secharan." Even though it's good, even the great rabbis of the Gemara, they said, "You know what? I don't want the Yisurin and I don't want the reward." So Chaim Volozhiner said, "Why? If it's so good, well, how come the rabbis are saying they don't want it?" And Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, "Because they're afraid. They're afraid they weren't going to accept it with love. And if you don't accept the Yisuri in the right way, then it could be very damaging. It could kill a person. It could change his life. He could go the other way totally. He could say, God hates me, God this, God that, and he could go off the path entirely." So the rabbis were afraid. They're not going to accept it ba'ava, of course, on their level. But once the difficulty comes, it's very hard to first teach the person about emunah, bitachon. He's already in the situation. You can't teach him then. He has to be trained already from beforehand. And many times we'll fail. And we'll get depressed. But if we keep being mechazek ourselves, and we keep going over the same points, eventually it'll make an impact. You won't pass every test. You're not going to be jumping up and down for joy when everything... But it'll make an impact. You hear it again, over and over. Sometimes you'll be poverty situation. It's not so bad. Okay, it's not horrible. That's already a level. Our emunah is that everything that happens to us is handpicked by Hashem for our best interests. They told the story of Rav Aryeh Levin during the Second World War in Yerushalayim. There was starvation, there was death, and the people in Yerushalayim were suffering terribly. There was a wealthy man, one very big wealthy man in the town in Yerushalayim, and he was loaning money to people to buy food. And the rabbi's children were starving. So Rav Aryeh Levin says, "We gotta go to him and ask for a loan." So he went to the wealthy man. And he said, please, you gotta help us out, we're starving." And the wealthy man said, "No. I'm sorry, Rabbi, I can't help you." He said, "Why not? You're giving everybody. He says, but everybody knows I'm rich. And he says, if I don't give them, they're going to badmouth me. Everyone's going to say, what is this guy? He's hoarding all his money. This guy, what a low life. He's not helping us. So I have to help them. He says, but Rabbi, you Rabbi, I know, you won't hold a grudge against me. So you, I'm not giving. I'm sorry. I really don't want to give, but I have to. But I'm not giving. So the Rabbi couldn't believe it. He goes home and he starts complaining to his wife. And he says, how could it be? Because I'm a nice guy and I'm not going to hold a grudge against them. My children have to go starving. Does that make sense? So his wife says, Arye, what's the matter with you? Where's your emunah? Listen to what you're saying. Why didn't he give you the money? Because he's not rich enough? You know he's rich. What do you think? He's stingy? He gives everyone in the town. He's not stingy either. Is it because maybe he doesn't trust you? Last week you found a gold coin of his in the shul and you walked barefoot 2 miles to return it to him. He knows that you're trustworthy. So he has the money. He's not stingy. He knows you're trustworthy. Why didn't he give you the money? There's only one explanation. Hashem does not want you to get your help from him. Your help is meant to come from somewhere else. This is emunah. This is a eshet chayil. She's putting her husband in line. This is emunah. Our help's not. I'll get my help from somewhere else. Okay, not him. Hashem will help me somewhere else. He's just a messenger. Tonight we're celebrating Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We're gonna have Pesach in 2 weeks. The Chatam Sofer writes that every brick that every Jew had to make and build with, he says, it was calculated with such a cheshbon from Hashem. He says everything was calculated. They left Mitzrayim. It says be'etzem hayom hazeh. They left be'etzem hayom hazeh means exactly to the day, 430 years from the day Hashem told Abraham, your children are going to be strangers in the land. 430 years later, not a second later. They left. Everything was calculated. It looked like they're in slavery, in hard slavery, 210 years, 130, and who they forgot about? Maybe what's happening to us? No one cares about us. Hashem was calculated. It was all with a cheshbon. Everything in the world is with such precision. I was just saying the other night. I was just imagining. Hashem, we believe that Hashem knows the thoughts of all men. Those are the thoughts of all men. And Hashem is recognizing what you're thinking about. The same moment he's recognizing what a guy in China is thinking about. How many people are in the world? Billions. And Hashem, at the same time that he's giving you a test in New York, and he's setting you up over here in Hong Kong, he's setting up a guy with another test. And in Israel, he's setting up a guy with another test. And he has everyone in mind at the same second. All amazing. How does Hashem know? It's not fathomable. Our minds can't comprehend, but everything is with a cheshbon. Everything, there's nothing that's haphazard. They say the human brain has 10 billion neurons that transmit electrical messages through the body. And they tell the body what to do. Each transmitter has a separate line, and each line is insulated. There are also cross connectors with these 10 billion transmitters, each one over 1,000 times with the other, which means, for us, in one brain, there are over 10 trillion connections, which means if you would take all the telephone systems in the world and all the electrical wirings of every home in the world, it would equal just a fraction of the amount of wiring in one brain. That's the gadlut, the amazing chokhmah of Hashem. They say the eye. The eye, some say, it's a machloket, it's a crazy machloket. Some say the eye has 50 million receptors, and others believe 50 billion receptors. And what do these receptors do? Each one takes the image, what you're looking at, and it transforms it into an electrical impulse and passes it up to the brain where it can be deciphered. Now the connectors or nerves that go from the eye to the brain are only 50,000. There is 50 billion transmitters only going through 50,000 connectors. And there's never clogging. They're not getting clogged. They're going smoothly. You have a clog in your chas v'shalom in your eye. No. And this is all happening at light speed. It's amazing. The Gaon writes, there are 70 layers on the eye. And the scientists are just discovering this now. That's why it's called an ayin. An ayin is 70, because there's 70 layers on the eye. So kulam bechokhma asita, we can't fathom the wisdom of God. We have to just know everything is with precision. There's no accidents in the world. It says in Parashat Nitzavim, Ve'amar hador ha'acharon. And the pesukim continue when it says, Ve'amiru al meh asha Hashem kacha la'aretz hazot. So the Brisker Rav asks a question. It says, people are going to ask, God, why are you doing this to the land? What's going on? Why are you doing this? So the Brisker Rav asks, why does it say Ve'amar twice? It says, Ve'amar ador ha'acharon, Ve'amiru al meh asha Hashem. Why does it say it twice? See, it says, Ve'amar ador ha'acharon is said again because that's also a chidush. Who asks such questions? Who asks, why is God doing this? He says, only the Dora Acharon, only the last generation. The last generation before Mashiach, we're going to be asking questions. It wasn't the way of Jews, of the previous generations, to ask why. Well, they accepted. A man told a story about his grandmother. She was a simple lady. When her husband died, she was so broken. She was crying and crying and crying. She came home from the funeral and her grandson was there and he overheard her and she was talking to Hashem and she said, she's crying, she said, Hashem, she says, I'm crying, but I'm only crying because it hurts, not because I have any questions. I'm human, it hurts, I'm going to cry, but not because I believe what you did is for the best. I know what you did. Those were simple pashut emunah of the previous generations, but the test of our generation is different. We're going to be presented with a lot of questions. What's going on? Why is God doing this to us? And sometimes we ask. That's our test. And many people will despair in a lot of situations. So, and sometimes it's very hard. There's hardships. There's suffering. And we'll say, what do I need this for? Why is God doing this to me? Doesn't God love me? Why me? And we have to know, Hashem is giving them to you to overcome this simcha. I was saying the other time, sometimes that there's small little problems. Doesn't have to be huge even. Don't have to be big things. Small problems. We ask questions even on small problems. I was saying last year, this past winter, I woke up one morning, freezing cold. I go look at the thermostat, and it says it's 58 degrees in the house. I said, Achilak, what's with the heat? I go to try to raise the heat. It's not going on. So I go quickly in the morning. I call up the heating guy. We have no heat. It's the coldest week of the year. It's zero to below zero outside. So the guy comes at 7 o'clock in the morning. He checks the thing, and the guy says, "You need a new motor." I said, "Okay, could you get me one?" I have to go to the supply and check. He calls me back a half hour later. There's none in Brooklyn. You can't get a motor in Brooklyn. I said, so where, could I go somewhere else? He says, no. I have to order it. When is it coming? 3 or 4 days. 3 or 4 days? You can't. I'll go anyway. You want me to drive the deal? Drive here? No, there's no. There's no motors. So what should I? So I said, what is this? I have little kids at home. I'm going to suffer for 4 days in the cold. I can't move my whole family to my in-laws. It's a small little thing, but I'm questioning. And then I thought to myself, okay, you know, it's going to be a little hassle. We'll have to get some portable heaters. I thought to myself, you know, what did the rabbis keep telling us? You know what Yisurin is? You know what you get when you're suffering from God? It's worth billions. I thought to myself, I said, imagine I owed a wealthy man $2 million. And the guy calls me up and he says, you know, you owe me $2 million? I'll make you a deal right now. Go to my house and deal in the winter. I want you to stay there for 4 days with no heat. And then we're even. Unbelievable. 4 days, no heat, $2 million. I'll do it. We're going to love every second of those 4 days. We're going to say, every minute's $10,000, beautiful, more, more. If your guy could believe and think, Hashem is sending you, I'm giving you billions for this. It's worth it. It's all about the preparation. If God would come to you in advance, the guy's on the road, he's on his way to a meeting, and he gets a flat tire, and he has to stop and cancel, and this, what is God? Imagine God told you in advance, I'm about to give you a flat tire. I want to see how you handle it. Let's see how you do. A different attitude. You walk out with a smile, it's not so bad, we'll call AAA. Call your guy, I'm going to be a couple of hours late, don't worry about it. You're prepared for the event. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to prepare ourselves for the small things. It's hand-picked. God picked it out for you specifically. It's for your best. And sometimes there's even bigger challenges. People could have difficult children sometimes. The children are giving you problems, they're disrespectful, and they're this. And imagine God came to you and He says, I have a soul for you to take care of. It's a little difficult, but it has a purpose, and I want you to take care of him. It's going to be very difficult, but I'm doing this for you, it's for your best. We say, Hashem is entrusting me with this child. I gotta want to let him down. Am I going to keep hitting him and yelling at him and this? I got to take care of him. It's all about the preparation. Imagine God came to you and He said that tomorrow in the stock market, you're going to lose $200,000. But it's for your best, and you accept what happened, we have a different approach. That's how we have to look at all problems. God is hand-picking them for us, and He wants to see how we're going to handle them, and don't worry, He has all the cheshbonot worked out. Another thing we have to know. Hashem says, Imo anochi betzara. My precious child, Hashem says, I am with you in all of your pain. And when a person has a difficulty, Hashem is extra close to him. L'mashal, lo aleno, there's a child in the hospital. And the parents, what do the parents do? There's a kid in the hospital, they spend all their time with the kid. What's with the kids at home? We can't give them the time now. We need to spend the time with this one. We have to get a babysitter for them. Hashem is the same way. My son's in trouble. I gotta spend extra time with him. I gotta get closer to him. Rabbi Shwadron, he told a story. He knew a Jew from the Holocaust who suffered tremendously in Auschwitz. And he told him a story. He told the rabbi the following story. He said it was one day, freezing cold day, below zero. And he was with seven of his friends. And the Nazis had a game, sport. They would take the Jews out in the freezing cold, and they would make this sulfuric acid barrel. They would put acid in a barrel, and they would tell each Jew to strip naked and to jump into the barrel and to burn their skin. That was their game, Machshemam. And this guy said, it was my turn. He said, I was getting ready to jump into the barrel. He said, and when I was jumping into the barrel, I started thinking, I looked up to God. And I said, Hashem, you have taken away the Nazis have taken away my parents. They've taken away my wife. They've taken away my children. And now, they've taken away my clothing. And all I've got left is the flesh on my body. And now he says, Ribono shel Olam, it's just you and me. And he was now in the bath, he was in the acid. And he said, suddenly, he felt such a pleasure, he said, that I never felt in my life. He said, I felt the Shekhinah one with me. He says, I can't describe to you the feeling. He said, but my friends were yelling at me, jump out, get out, you're burning us. I couldn't leave the barrel. I felt so close to God. He was at the worst at all possible, that God was so close to him and he felt it. And God is there for everyone on their scale, on their level. But he's there for you. Whoever's looking for him, whoever wants to feel the Shekhinah, he's there to be felt. Furthermore, the Be'er Mayim Chaim says, you know what it means? Imo anochi betzara. What does it mean? Hashem is with you in pain. Kaviyachol, the Shekhinah is suffering. When Hashem gives a person a tragedy or a suffering, the Shekhinah is suffering. That means, why would Hashem inflict pain upon himself? What is he doing to himself? Hashem loves you so much that he's willing to hurt himself just to give you what you need. You have to have it, whatever, we don't know why. But you have to, he's willing to suffer himself just to give you this yisurin that's necessary. That's the love. And Hashem will give us, he'll give the people, when a person has a difficulty, it says Hashem gives him with the difficulty, he gives him the strength to overcome it. The old Skolin Rebbe, he was thrown into jail and they took everything from him. And he was lying in jail on the dirt floor, horrible cell. He woke up in the morning and he started to pray, saying Baruch She'amar. And he started saying, Baruch She'amar V'haya Ha'olam, Baruch Hu, Baruch Omer V'oseh. He's saying with such kavanah. And he gets up to the words, Baruch Gozer Unkayem. He starts thinking to himself, what does this mean? Baruch Gozer Unkayem. Gozer means Hashem makes a decree. He makes a decree, sounds like an evil decree, something not so happy. So why are we praising God? Baruch Gozer, you make evil decrees on us? Umekayem, and you fulfill them. What kind of praise is that to God? So he says, no, that's not the explanation. He says, I figured it out. You know what the explanation is? Baruch Gozer. Baruch Hashem, you're great, you make decrees. But you know why you're so great? Umekayem, the person. You sustain the person when you're giving him the decree. Mekayem, you help the person get through it. That's Baruch Gozer Mekayem. He's Mekayem the person. And we constantly need Chizuk in this area. There's no, we could say the same thing over every single day for the rest of our lives, but when the challenge comes, it's always hard. Always hard. We have to keep giving ourselves Chizuk. We have to keep giving this, give this message over to your families. Give the message over to your children. There's an unbelievable Gemara. We touched on it last week. How important it is for a person to have good, to give the chinuch to his kids. The Gemara says, one answer to the question, Sadiq Viralo, like we talked about last week. A Sadiq, and bad happens to him. You know what the Gemara says about it? Sadiq Viralo, you know why? Because he's a Sadiq Ben Rasha. Not because of him, because his father was a Rasha. And it says, Rasha v'tovlo. You know why sometimes you'll have a wicked man and good things are happening? Because he's Rasha ben Sadiq. Because he has zichut of his father. So the Chatam Sofer asks, he says, I don't understand this whole Gemara. What does it mean, Sadiq v'ralo? If you take a Sadiq, everything that happens to this Sadiq, he loves. A real Sadiq. He accepts with love. You ask him how are things going, the guy could be living in the slums. How are things? Baruch Hashem, it's great. Wow, everything Hashem is awesome. What does it mean, Sadiq Viralo? It's an oxymoron, Sadiq Viralo. If he's a Sadiq, nothing is Ralo. Answers the Khatam Sofer, unbelievable. He says, you know how you can have a Sadiq Viralo? If he's Ben Rasha. If he was brought up in a house that wasn't giving him this message that everything is good. He could be a Sadiq. He could be a Sadiq, you know, he learns, he's this, that, but he didn't get the message that all of Hashem, whatever he does is good. He had a chinuch from a Rasha who never gave him this message. So he's Sadiq Viralo. And you could have a Rasha. A Rasha, it does bad. But his father kept telling him, everything is good, everything is good, everything is good. So he's Rasha Betobo. No matter what happens to him, it's all good. He has, it's all in the chinuch. It's all in the preparation. You have to just keep saying it over and over. The Chatam Sofer's father-in-law, famous rabbi, Rabbi Akiva Eger, we study him all day long in the Gemara. He wrote Sefarim. He gave tremendous gifts to the world. And the Chatam Sofer was once talking to his students, and he mentioned his father-in-law. He says, my father-in-law, Rabbi Eger. And he says, and he ripped his shirt, the Chatam, so he ripped his shirt. And he says, you can't imagine the suffering that my father-in-law went through every day of his life. Since the age of 16, he was bearing horrible, horrible suffering. And the great Rabbi Akiva Eger, before he died, he had one request. Again, he gave us amazing sefarim. He was the Gadol Ador. He says, I want you to write only one thing on my tombstone. I don't want all the superlatives, the Gaon, Gadol, Idir, Benorah. One thing I want you to write. I want you to write on my tombstone, Saval Yesurin Kol Yamav. He was able to bear Yesurin his whole life. And I said, Rabbi, that's it. You know what you did in the world? You learned 20 hours a day. You want to write on the tombstone that you bear Yesurin? He says, that's my biggest accomplishment. That I went through the world and I never questioned God. All the suffering that He gave me, that's my ticket to Olam Haba. That I could go up there confident saying, yes, I accepted all of Hashem's decrees and I never questioned one thing. Chafetz Chaim. He says, again, everything is tailor-made for a person. Everything that happens in his life is Me'et Hashem. Chafetz Chaim is a mashal. The Pasuk, it says, Mishpete Hashem Emet Sadeku Yachdav. Everything Hashem does is righteous. Chafetz Chaim says, imagine the following scenario. Someone goes up to the next world and they're judging him. And they look at his averot, they look at his mitzvot, and they come to the conclusion he has to undergo a little bit of suffering, but he's going to be in Gan Eden. He's going to make it. And they continue, and they found at the end one thing. They said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see this. What? Had you once insulted your friend and you never asked him mechila, you never asked him forgiveness? I'm sorry, we can't help you. He says, what do you mean? They said, we can't forgive you for something you did to your friend. You have to ask him mechila. You never asked him mechila. It's out of our hands. I'm sorry. There's only one thing you can do. What? You can go back down to the world again and fix this sin. You got to go back down and be able to live with people, and you have to be able to treat people the right way. He says, oh, I have to go back. Oh, okay, whatever it takes, I want to get to Gan Eden. And they say, okay, your decree is you're going to go back down to the world, and you're going to go back down as a brilliant, wealthy, good-looking guy. And he says, what? That's not fair. If I go down wealthy, he says that's the perfect combination for Gava. You're giving me, I'm going to go walk down hoarding, I'm going to look down at people. How could I go down to the world and rectify this sin if you're going to give me all the money in the world and give me good looks and give me... No, it's not fair. I can't do it. It's too hard. And they say, I'm sorry, you got to pass the test like this. And he's begging them, I can't, I'm not going to win. I'm going to do worse. I'm going to go down, make more averot. And after back and forth, he pleaded and pleaded. They said, okay, we'll give it to you. We'll let you go down as a pauper. He says, oh, thank you. I'm going to go back down. I'm going to be able to be humble. I'm going to be able to fulfill my mission. And the guy goes down to the world. And he's a big, big pauper. And what is he doing all day long? Hashem, why'd you make me so poor? Oh, come, it's not fair. Why don't you give me any money? It's not fair. So what do we do? What do you do? This, you asked for, who knows what you asked for in the previous life? What? This is what you need. You need this. Like everything you have is tailor made for you. He goes, I heard a mashal. There was a guy, he was at the airport, and he's waiting for his suitcase. And he gets the suitcase is coming down, the item over there, and he sees that it's all torn and ripped. He says, ugh, what happened to my suitcase? I'm not taking this garbage home. Then he sees the next suitcase, gorgeous, brand new suitcase. He says, I'm taking that one. He takes that suitcase. There's no guy there. He goes back to his hotel room. He opens up the suitcase, bijanen, all brand new clothes. He's psyched. He takes out the clothing. He puts them on. They're two sizes too big. What are you doing, Yavo? The clothes don't fit. It's not for you. You took the wrong guy's suitcase. What you have is for you. What he has is for him. And the more we train ourselves and believe everything Hashem gives us is good, the happier we'll be. The so much happier we'll be. I once heard from a rabbi, I don't think he had a source to this, but it stuck with me forever. The rabbi said, if a guy is always saying, life is bad, you know, so many troubles, I mean, the business is bad, economy is bad, life's bad, this is bad, that's bad, then Hashem says, you think this is bad? I'll show you what bad is. This is not bad. I'll show you. You think everything's bad? I'll show you what bad is. He says, but if a guy is always saying, life is great, Hashem is great, he gives me so much, everything I have is great, how is this great? How is this great? Hashem says, you think that's great? Oh, wait a second, I'll show you what's great. You keep saying great, Hashem says, I'll give you a shower blessing on you. You appreciate what I do for you, I'll give you more. We're going to read in the Mizmor on Pesach, the last pasuk, Mi chacham v'yishmor ele. What do we say? V'yidboninu hasteh Hashem. You have to be a chacham. V'yidboninu hasteh Hashem. To recognize the kindnesses and the good that Hashem gives us, you got to be a chacham. You got to use your chokhmah. You got to look deep into every situation and see the good. L'mashal, you could have a guy walking in a hot, burning hot desert. And he's sweating, and he's walking, and he finds a little hut, and he's sitting under the hut, and he has a little shade. There's two things the guy could say now. The guy could say, oh, Hashem, you're great. You took me out of the hot sun. You gave me a little shade. Beautiful, great. Or the guy could say, why didn't I get air conditioning? Why didn't I get an air conditioning room? All I got is a hut. Two approaches to the same situation. One guy is looking at the negative, and the other guy is saying, wow, Hashem, you're great. You gave me a hut. You gave me some shade. In every situation that you're in, you could look at what I don't have, or you could look at what I do have and say thank you. The famous Rav Zusha that we talked about before, he was a very poor man. He was hungry. Whatever he wanted, he got his meals, and he was hungry. And what do you say to Hashem when he's hungry? What do you say when you're poor? He said, Hashem, thank you so much for giving me an appetite. Because lo alenu, there's people out there, they don't even know when they're hungry. And God forbid, they could die of starvation without even realizing it. At least you made me hungry. Look at the chokhmah. You have to be a chacham to look for the good. We hear people saying all the time, good people. They say, Baruch Hashem, they found it early. Look at the good. Baruch Hashem, okay, they got it. They got it quick. Or Baruch Hashem, it could have been worse. Could have been worse. That's not so bad. That guy is good. He feels good. Baruch Hashem. I overheard somebody talking a few months ago the market's killing, but a few months ago, a guy said that someone sent him an email. And he said, I just lost $3 million in the stock market. And he wrote at the bottom, but thank God it's only money. It's a good attitude. It's only money. Could have been much worse, just money. Baruch Hashem, I have my health, I have my family. The Gaon says, the Gemara says, there's something called an Oreach Ra and an Oreach Tov. There's the good guest and there's the bad guest. The good guest, we know, famous, says, everything that the Baal HaBayit did for me. You go to someone's house on Friday night and you say, oh, beautiful, he put out this beautiful spread for me. He made extra food for me. They put out the nice silverware for me. Everything, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everything they did for me. And the Oreach Ra, what does he say? They're making Friday night dinner anyway. What did they do for me? Nothing. Their kids were away. They needed some company. They invited me over. And he has no gratitude. That's the Oreach Ra. Says the Vilna Gaon, we're all guests in Hashem's world. Are you going to be the Oreach Ra and say, Hashem made the world anyway, I'm just a tourist, and he's giving everybody, he made the sun, he made it for me too. Yes, he didn't do anything for me, he did it just for them. Or are you going to be the Oreach Tov? Wow, Hashem, everything you did for me. Wow, you made a beautiful day, you walk outside, wow, Shibi Jannah, what a beautiful day. You did that just for me, thank you Hashem. I needed a little boost, I was down, I was... Baruch Hashem, you did it for me. What an attitude. The guy walks around b'simcha all day. We wake up in the morning, what's the first thing we say? Modeh ani lefanecha. Thank you, Hashem. We're already so thankful. Why? Because you woke up in the morning. What a miracle it is to wake up in the morning and you have your soul back, all your body parts are working. You have to be makir tov, look for the good in all situations in life. Even the smallest things. Like I was saying before, I was driving home one night, cold night. Always the stories in the cold. Driving home in a cold night, and I'm looking outside in one of the store windows. It was Sunday night at 10 o'clock, and I see the laundromat filled with people. They're all doing their laundry in the laundromat. I said, Hazit, they're coming out 10 o'clock at night. All the ladies. This, I said, Baruch Hashem, I have a laundry machine. I have a washing machine. I have a dryer. My wife doesn't have to go out at 10 o'clock at night. The smallest things in life, what a beracha, we don't realize. A guy has a washing machine. Sometimes we have difficulties. The business isn't doing good. We have difficulty paying the mortgage. We're making ends meet. You know what? There's people, they wish they had a mortgage. They don't have a mortgage. Baruch Hashem, I have a mortgage. I have a house. Wow. Every time I drive down Coney Island Avenue, I can't not look at the little apartment buildings on top of the stores. I say, there's people, they live on top of a store. Baruch Hashem, I don't live on top of a store. You have a two family, a one family, a this family. We live in a beautiful community. We're right down the block from the shul. Baruch Hashem, look, what? Stop focusing on the bad economy. It is a bad economy, but Hashem is still blessed. You have money in the bank still? You're able to get by tomorrow? Baruch Hashem. If you want, that's the way it works in life. The way it works in the world is the more you appreciate, the more you could ask for. You ask any institution. They got a donation last year from a guy, from someone. If they didn't send them a thank you note, they can't ask again. You gotta first show gratitude and then you could ask again. Says Rav Sadok, the same is with Hashem. The more you show gratitude with Hashem, you can keep asking. He appreciates what I do for him. He appreciates what I do. Keep asking, I'll give you more. You appreciate it? I love you. Keep asking. But if you don't thank, or even worse, we take the good and we throw it back in someone's face, then they're not willing to give. There was a story. After World War I, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was on the run. And he stopped in a town. And he asked to sleep by someone's house. And the Jew, the guy said, no, I'm sorry, Rabbi, you can't sleep here. And the rabbi couldn't believe it. The rabbi found out a week before, another rabbi was in town, and the guy also said, no, you can't stay. He says, how could it be? This guy is not letting rabbis stay. They said, no, you don't understand. 3 weeks ago, this guy was the biggest machnis oreach. He always had guests. But 3 weeks ago, there was someone at his house, and they robbed him. He let someone come over. The guy went out the next morning with all his jewelry. He's not letting anyone come anymore. If a person feels used, a person feels exploited, he's not going to give anymore. The same is with Hashem. Don't make him feel used. The key to receiving Hashem's beracha is to constantly feel that we owe, constantly feel gratitude. The gedolim all the time, they're always saying, thank you Hashem. We say the Amidah. Most of our Amidah is requests. We're asking, please Hashem, I need this, I need this. Please Hashem, I need that, I need this, I need that. There's another part of the Amidah at the end. It's called Modim. It's called the gratitude part. How much time do we spend over there? A student once asked his rabbi, Rabbi, I noticed you pray a very, very, very long Amidah. My Amidah is about 10 minutes, says the guy, the student. And I pray with such kavanah. What in the world are you doing for the other 10 minutes? Why does it take you 20 minutes to say the Amidah? And the rabbi said, it's simple. Before I say modim every tefillah, I think of all the good that Hashem does for me. I think of every child. I think of every grandchild. I think of my parnasah. I think of my house. I think of my learning. I say, wow, Hashem, you gave me so much. And only after that, Modim anachnu lach. Thank you, Hashem, for everything. There's a lot of times. Some days I could be there for 30 minutes. Someone once stayed in a hotel. They were having a convention. There was a lot of rabbis there. There was a rabbi in the hotel. And he overheard at night, he was going to sleep in the next room. He overheard somebody talking. And he listened, the guy was talking. And the guy said, Hashem, thank you so much for my health. And Hashem, I thank you so much for my children. And Hashem, thank you so much for my wife. Thank you for letting me pay my bills. Thank you for my sechel. Thank you for my health. And he went on and on and on. And this guy's, wow, this guy's unbelievable. The next morning, he goes to the front desk. And he says, who was that in room 108? He said, oh, room 108? That's the Chafetz Chaim. He says, ah, oh, the Chafetz Chaim, every night before he went to sleep, he makes an accounting. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. He's the happiest man in the world. The key to happiness in life and the key to Hashem's beracha. It says, we read everyone, Mizmor Letoda. A mizmor for thanking. If do it Hashem b'simcha, then you'll be able to serve Hashem b'simcha. We don't want the yisurim, lo hen velo secharan. We want only the beracha, we want only the good. Everything is good, but we want to be makir the good, we want to recognize the good. With this attitude of always looking for the good, looking for the bright side, a person could go through life, much different life. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll all go b'simcha. Ad bi'at ko'el bimhera bimenu amen.